following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
So just a moment ago, Ms. Sylvia shared one version of the Great Commission out of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. In Matthew 28, Jesus gives the Great Commission. And in the Great Commission, his command is to go. Now, Joycelyn has something in common with my wife. When you say go, they're ready to go at the drop of a hat. The commission is to go, and wherever you go, wherever you're at, wherever you find yourself traveling, whether it be to the market, whether it be to the gas station, the restaurant, or on the other side of the world, you're to take the Great Commission, you're to take the gospel with you. And Jesus said to go and make disciples. Now, not all of us will have the opportunity to travel internationally. Not all of us will have the opportunity to do international mission work. But there are many, many, many different ways that you can be involved in doing international missions. Operation Christmas Child is one of those ways. Every time you pack one of those shoe boxes, every time you donate an item, that's going to go around the world somewhere. You don't know where the destination is. And it's going to open the door for missionaries and people like Joycelyn to go and distribute these boxes and share the gospel. And we've heard story after story of how Operation Christmas Child has changed communities. Communities that were at war with each other are now joining together and getting along because someone went and shared the gospel with them. So I'm hoping that through this presentation, your heart will be touched by what's going on. I'm very interested in the possibility of us doing some type of international mission work probably next year. So I think this is the start of that. And so I'm going to ask Joycelyn to come up here. I'm going to pray for her. And I'm going to give her the microphone, wherever they put the microphone at. Oh, okay. Father God, we come before you tonight. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you send people into our lives to make a huge impact. I know that you sent many people into my life since I've been here, Lord God, in Morgan City, who have made a significant impact in my ministry here. And we just thank you for the opportunities that you present to us, Lord God. And I know the moment that Joycelyn mentioned this trip, Lord God, that this was something that you had called her to do, Lord God. And as she went as our representative and as your representative, I just thank you for the work that she was able to do. For that first picture that I saw when she sent me, Lord God, of little kids receiving the boxes, I knew that her life would be changed through this opportunity. And I just pray that as she shares her heart this evening, Lord God, that you'll use that to inspire us to do greater things for your kingdom and for your glory. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I want to thank y'all all for coming tonight, and I want to apologize because I'm not a public speaker, but just look over my little gasping, just look at the pictures and hear the story. I hope I can relate this story to each of you where you feel like you're there with me. I know as I look over the pictures, it just gives me the chills to think about the experience I had there. And as we sang, I love to tell the story. It made me think about how these people in these foreign countries who are partnered with Operation Christmas Child and Samaritan's Purse, they love to tell the story. It's very obvious from the minute you get there. They didn't start telling this story when we arrived with the shoeboxes. They have been teaching these children for months beforehand. These kids are already used to bowing their heads and putting their hands together when they pray. There's two pictures especially to me that just sums up the whole trip. Brother Tracy mentioned the one I sent to him, and there's another one. But there's all the pictures in between are just experiences to just relish in my heart forever. I guess I have to admit that as I've seen video that Operation Christmas Child has sent to us, sometimes I've wondered, are these kind of manufactured? Are they staged for our benefit to see good things that don't really happen? Well, I can tell you they happen. They happen just like the videos show, just like the pictures we see. It's amazing, and it's just such a wonderful experience. I want to share some some facts with you first about Operation Christmas Child. I know pretty much all of you are aware of it, and we do have a church from the Pierrepont area here tonight that is one of our big supporters that brings shoeboxes every year. I want to welcome Cheryl and her husband and her friend from there. But in 2023, there was 11,330,126 shoeboxes collected. 11,051,570 was in the U.S. alone. So that's 89% is coming from right here in the United States. There are other places that do pack shoeboxes, but as you can see, we are the biggest supporter there. Since 1993, 220 million have been collected, and they are collected in 11 different countries. They are distributed in 170 countries and territories. Some of them are not official countries, but are just territories. Some are territories of the United States, like Guam. They have 18,000 year-round volunteers that work 365 days a year for Operation Christmas Child. They have nearly 11,000 in the United States. There's over 187,000 part-time volunteers, and that's people like y'all who just work seasonal, packing the boxes, putting them together, and we get them shipped out. That's a tremendous thing for you all to be doing. That's the root of the project. All right. Now, so far they've had 50 million children who has participated in the Greatest Journey program, which is a 12-week program these children are entered into after they go through receiving the shoeboxes. And these kids are just amazing at what they learn. We did get to experience one of the classes. We had three distributions and one Greatest Journey lesson experience. Okay. Now, as you can see, this looks like an ordinary shoebox. It doesn't look like it can hold much, but I promise you, anything in this box just excites those kids. And I'll share some of the things that we experience them pulling out of their boxes and just lighting up like a lamp from getting something so minor that it's unreal. But don't ever think this is not much. This is everything to these kids. Okay, Marcy, go to the first one. Okay, this is the hotel where we stayed. We had 60 people who went to Peru on the teams. They were broken down into five teams of 12 people. Each team had a leader and a co-leader. Our co-leader, all 60 people met in Miami Airport. We all 60 flew together on the same plane heading to Peru, so we all arrived together. But at Peru, we separated into our groups. Our assistant leaders was with us on the plane from Miami. Our leader met us in Peru at the airport. And there, we each group went our own way. We all stayed at this hotel in Lima, which was a very nice hotel. And we had water, we had air conditioning, we had all the luxuries that we have here in at home. The 12 on our team, 11 of them were area coordinators, which is what Melody is here. They have an area that they take care of and keep track of, promote the project, and they have a big job. I was the only church coordinator there, but I think there were some other church coordinators on the other team. By the time we left Miami, we all knew everybody. So we became friends, and we crossed paths the entire 3 days we were in Peru. Okay, next. This is a picture of Peru from our window of our hotel. So that kind of gives you an idea of what the city looks like. It's fairly modern. The buildings are a little older, stone-type buildings, but there's a lot of modern amenities there. Okay, next. Okay, this is part of our team. The first morning when we got ready to leave, we had to meet at 10 o'clock in the conference room, which we had praise and worship songs. We had a little devotional for the day and a little encouragement. They gave us some instructions, and then we all met in a part of the hotel and gathered our supplies to go out for our day's adventure. The gentleman in the front is an area coordinator in the Arkansas area, and all the others, are ladies that are area coordinators throughout our areas. Okay. Next. This is, as we're getting ready, they would load up our cart for us while we were in the devotional time, and we would carry shoeboxes with us just in case they had kids who came that wasn't expected and didn't have enough shoeboxes. However, thankfully, as the Lord always takes care of things, they always had plenty of shoeboxes at the site. Then we would bring tons of water. They wanted us to stay hydrated. And we always brought a gift for the pastor or the pastora of the church where we were going for that event. Next. This is as we're going along to the first church. This is just some of the buildings along the way. You can go to the next one. We didn't stop long enough anywhere in town for me to take pictures other than moving. So I got what I could and just give you a little idea of what the city looked like. Okay. The first church we went to was a church and a school, and it was 9 miles away from our hotel. It took us 3 hours to get there. The traffic is horrendous. They say it's like that every day. You know, there's no getting around it. You have to deal with this daily. Okay, this is the first church we went to. It's called Iglesia Nuevo Jerusalem Church and School. The pastor is Virginia and her daughter, and Virginia and her husband started the church and the school many years ago, 31 years ago. Her husband passed away 11 years later, and her son passed away in 2021 from COVID. So that left her and her daughter to keep things going, and they have done a tremendous job here at this church and school. The kids seem to love Miss Virginia and her daughter and the workers that are there. They have been taught so much. Like I said earlier, these kids know about God before we got there. The week before we did our distribution at this church, there was 52 children who graduated from the Greatest Journey Project. 100 children received shoeboxes at this facility while we were there. Okay, next. And this is the interior. This is their auditorium for the school and the church, and everything was set up in here. They had the shoeboxes hidden behind the colored boxes on the stage. For some reason, they say they always hide the shoeboxes. We were told the kids don't know they're getting gifts, that they know they're there for something. They know that people from America are coming. And every place gave each of us a little treat of some sort. This particular one gave each of us a handmade card, welcoming us and thanking and telling us they hope they'll see us again soon. So I don't know that that will happen, but maybe when we get to heaven, we'll see these children. Okay, next. Okay, and this is one of the volunteers at the school. She's presenting the gospel. Each event, they present the gospel first, and then they do some games and singing and playing with the kids, just have a good time. But they have a big book, flip book, that has the story of Jesus, and they work through that. And, you know, they ask the kids questions, and they... most of the kids know the answers. Okay, next. Okay, and this is Sister Virginia, that she's telling them about the Greatest Journey booklet that they get at the distribution. This just kind of tells them some of the things about the program and just get them excited before they get enrolled. So each child, we presented a book before we passed out the shoeboxes. Next. Okay, now this is, as the kids got the shoe boxes, we got to present all 100 of them. The 12 of us on our team, the leaders stayed back and they took pictures of us. They told us they didn't want us to take pictures. They wanted us to be in the moment. They wanted us to share Jesus with the children and to interact with them with the toys and just help them if they needed help opening the boxes or to learn what to do with what may be in the box. Okay, next. Okay, and this is some prayer time that we had before they opened anything. Next. Okay, this little girl just stole my heart. She was fiddling in her box and just searching for things. And when I knelt down to talk to her, I asked her what was her favorite thing. And of course, they can't speak English, but we had interpreters, so we were able to communicate with them. But she kept just shuffling in her little box, and they had a bowl. And in her bowl was these little bitty plastic animals, little cheap plastic animals. She kept pulling them out one by one very slowly and handing them to me, telling me that was her favorites. And just, she had other things in there. I've got the chills thinking about watching that baby. That she had other things that was more valuable, more cost more money, but those little animals is what touched her. Next. And that's one opening their box, and we're going through things. I believe this was the one that I asked what was her favorite, and she pulled out one of these hairbrushes, the kind that fold in half, and you open them, and there's a mirror on one side, and then you push the bristles out. But she just opened it, and I asked her, said, that's your favorite? And she shook her head, yes. I said, do you know what to do with it? And she shook her head, no. Well, I pushed the bristles out and started brushing her hair. And her eyes just beamed. I mean, she just couldn't get over that there was more to it than just opening this thing and looking at it. But even in that aspect, it was still her favorite thing. Next. And these are just some pictures of some of the kids that... This little boy had a soccer ball. They, of course, came deflated in the shoebox. And pumps were included, which is one thing we have to remember to do. If we're going to put something like that in a box, we have to send a pump in order for them to get them pumped up and use them. Well, he didn't know he could pump it up, but the gentleman on our team took the pump and started pumping it up for him. And his eyes just started getting bigger and bigger as the ball got bigger and bigger. And when he left with that ball, he was holding it like it was precious as could be, that his life depended on it. And he was just smiling away. And I asked him if he was going to play soccer. And he shook his head, yes. Next. Okay, this little boy had this little whistle thing. I haven't seen them in years. I mean, very minor little thing. There's a little ball on the top, and as you blow it, bubbles like out the air. And he played with that, I think, for 2 hours and just would not put it down. And, of course, as you can see, he has other things in his box. But that thing just caught his attention. Next. This little girl had a stuffed animal, and she's got her Greatest Journey booklet, and she just enjoyed that animal. She loved that. Every little thing just was so important to them. Next. There's some more with animals and different things. Okay. And this was the little girl from the first picture. Again, that she was showing me all her little animals. And this is one of our team members. Participating with one of the children. I'm not sure what that one had in his box. I can't quite tell. But if you can see the kids kind of in the background, the older kids wore uniforms. This church school were a little wealthier people, not wealthy in any great amounts, but it was a better class of people. You know, it's not like we think in terms of the little villages out nowhere. These people had to, they paid for the schooling, and I don't think it was a whole lot, but like I said, they were the better class of people there. Okay, next. This is our whole group, our interpreters, the workers and volunteers from the school. The young man in black standing up on the right was our team leader. The lady kind of squatting down a little bit on the left was one of our interpreters. And then the team is just scattered through there with the workers from the school and the church. Next. And this is some more pictures of the kids. As you can see that some of them just really just adore their boxes. They just cling to them. And this one here, this girl that's leaning down, she was on our team. There were two young ladies, approximately the same age, from Puerto Rico. They participate in this also as a territory of the United States. These girls had not met until they got to the Miami airport, even though they both live on the island of Puerto Rico. But these girls were like twins. Their personalities, their love for the Lord was so equal to each other. They just were so full of enthusiasm. They prayed and they sang and they danced with these kids. And they were just a treat to watching themselves. But the kids would have so much fun with them. And of course, they spoke Spanish, so they had a benefit over the rest of us. Next. And this is another thing that I always wondered about when we put the red elf hats in the boxes, if they would really get a kick out of that. Well, there was two girls had elf hats in their boxes, and that's the first thing they did was put the hats on their heads and started laughing. Next. This was one of our team members. I think this was the little boy that had the soccer ball. And they managed to catch her and him in a picture. A lot of these pictures did come from our team leaders, because, as I said, they wanted us interacting with the kids. And so they got pictures of us doing these things where we couldn't stop and take a picture of ourselves doing things. Next. Okay, there's the little boy with the soccer ball again. Okay, this is another little boy. Thumbs up with his box. Okay. And some of them got on the floor, and the teachers, too, this is some more prayer time that we had with the kids. And next, there's the two girls that got the hats, and they were tickled pink about them. So things we might not think would be important or be good to put in there that they enjoyed. Next. Okay, that's us mingling with the kids and just... Okay, this little boy had a letter from someone who had packed his shoebox, and we would have someone from our team, if it wasn't one of the girls from Puerto Rico, one of our interpreters would read the letters to them when we found out they had received a letter. Okay. Next. Okay, this one had received a little hat and was excited to get that. This is the same little girl. You can see her little bowl, and looks like she's probably at her last little animal in there. Next. And again, these are just assorted pictures of the kids as they're receiving their boxes and looking at them. And some of them would take everything out of the box. This is another one that had received a ball. I'm not sure if you call that a soccer ball or what, but he loved his ball. Okay, this is our team again back at the hotel. We have Jesse, the back right, which is our team leader. And in the front, all the way to the left, is the assistant team leader, Megan, who met us in Miami. And the rest are just from... scattered areas. I think I was the only one from Louisiana. They had several from Texas, some from Arkansas, some from Missouri, Puerto Rico, some from Florida, one from Alabama. Next. Okay, this is just some sites on our way to our second distribution. We're going through this area. And next. This is just some more of the buildings right there in the area. Okay. Next. Now, this is at our second distribution. This is Pastor Esperanza had been working for 30 years with these children to present the gospel to them. He had received a shoebox when he was a kid and always wanted to make his life work, part of it to be with these kids and teach them about God. So having received one, he knew what an impact that would make. So he got involved. He partnered with Operation Christmas Child because they don't just pick a church. You have to apply. They research. They investigate, you know, and determine what churches are really doing the work of the Lord before they partner with them. Now, this one, the pastor is an owner in a production company, which I'm sure is not like we think in a production company here. But they had people in the distribution event doing filming while we were there, and they said they were going to be showing it on, I guess, their local TV station. But we had received the blue T-shirts. Everybody got a blue T-shirt, and Jesse, our leader, asked us all to wear our T-shirts that day so because we were going to be on TV. Okay. Now, the lady on the left, I'm sorry, she's to do with the National Leaders Team. She's head over the National Leader Team in Peru. Okay, next. This is the same building, their church building. Next. Okay, when they have a little sort of like youth team that was singing and dancing to entertain the kids. And they must have sang and danced for 30 minutes straight. And the kids would get up and dance and sing with them also. They would just have a ball with all this. And again, as you can see on the stage, the green box and all the balloons and the pink box and balloons are the shoe boxes. They're divided in girls and boys. And after they moved the big boxes away, they had them separated by age groups, as they had the children in the church separated by age groups. Okay. Next. And this is just a little boy that, this was before they even got the shoe boxes, but he just so happy to be there. Okay, and then they've given out the books and the shoe boxes. This one's, they couldn't open it before, they couldn't open it yet, but he was studying it. Okay, next one. Okay, now this one has gotten into his box and just searching through to find out what he had. Next. Again, this is our team out in front of the hotel. Next. Okay, some more of in that facility that kids that were receiving. One of the, I believe it was one of the girls from Puerto Rico was helping this little girl, and they wrote in the notebook she got, Dios es amor. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but I think it's Jesus loves you. Okay, next. And again, in this one, they're doing the gospel presentation. As they do in everyone. That's one of the first things that they do. Okay. Next. And this is just out in front of their church. There was a couple of the kids that they would always leave the church before we left. And parents would come get them and meet them at the door. Well, we came out and there were several of the kids in the street out there with their parents. And they were waiting for us. They wanted to take pictures with us, and they wanted to see their pictures. after we take them, we'd have to show it to them on the cameras. Next. That's the two girls from Puerto Rico. This is a Silva. Silva was the prayer coordinator for the national team in Peru. She was a sweetheart. She just had such a personality. She'd get in there and she would just dance and carry on with the kids. But she did her job. She was excellent in organizing everything about this trip. Okay, this is, in the center is our team leader, Jesse. To the left is, and right is our two impersonators, Fernando and Rosie. And they were so much fun to be with. They just helped us to have fun. They cut up the whole time, and it was just amazing how in so few time, such short time, you can get so close to these people. And we're actually sitting at a Chili's for lunch here. We had our choice to go to the food court at the mall, but we all had to order from the same place because they were paying for it. They were paying for it with the money we paid for the trip, but they wanted to pay one bill. Or we could go to Chili's and eat. So the group decided they wanted Chili's better than the food court. And it was like a Chili's here. The food was the same thing. Next. Okay, this is the one where we went to the Greatest Journey event. This was their 12th lesson, so it was their final week, and they were going to be doing their graduation coming up soon. It's Pastor Esperanza. Let's see. And we'll have a couple pictures of the classes, but we went on in, and they had a community area where the kids sang and danced, and they talked to the kids for a while. We prayed. We got to mingle with the kids, got them to get familiar with us and get comfortable. Then all the kids went to their different classrooms. Okay, next. Okay, and this is in the little class. But even these little kids, when the teacher would ask a question, they knew the answer just like that. They didn't even have to think about it. Next. She got down on the floor with them, and I don't know if I have a picture of it, but she literally, they all sat on the floor and did some lessons and some playing with the questions. But all these kids knew everything she was talking about. Next. Okay. This is the same class. That's the four of us from the team that was in that class, experiencing what they were learning and doing. Next. Okay, this is another one of the classes. We kind of broke up and a few went into each of the classrooms. This is the older kids. And this is back in the community area afterwards. Again, everybody met in there, and we got to walk around and mingle with them and talk to them and play with them. And we probably spent a good two and a half hours at each event we went to. So we had a lot of time with these kids. Next. Okay, this little boy is reading from the Bible at the same location there. Next. Okay, we're having some prayer time. We're all, this is the team, their volunteers, and our team. And we're just all gathering around to thank God for what's happened in these kids' lives and how much this program means to them all. Next. And this is some more of the kids. They were listening to the stories being told. And next. This is one of our team members with a group of the kids. This is some more. And this is one of the girls from Puerto Rico praying for the pastor and the church and for their future, with their partnership. And that's all of us at the end. Okay. Now, this is Sunday morning. We were going to have some free time for us, which they coordinated. We're waiting for them to get our tickets. They brought us to an old ruins. It's an old temple that they think was built around between 200 and 500 AD. But let me go back to say something I forgot about the distribution trip before the greatest journey, the one before this one. This was an area that when the pastor moved in with his church, the community was not happy about him being there. But they moved in. They tried to make themselves at home. They tried to welcome the residents around the church. But there was a big problem with criminal activity, with gangs. So this pastor and his church, they all got together and they put up fences and gates at the end of the street, kind of gated off this community within the city of Lima. You had to go drive up to the gate, tell them who you were and what you were there for. Of course, they knew we were coming, and they would open the gates and let you in. Well, crime had deteriorated so much that the community had become friends with them. They liked that. So they were happy and was attending their church. So that worked out for the good. They helped that community. But then back to this on Sunday morning, we were all just waiting for them to get everything in line for us to go to the ruins. Okay, next. Okay, this is our guide at the ruins. You may be able to see a little later, see better the construction of this. This is not built like most of the ancient things you might see in Mexico or other ancient ruins. These were individual bricks that was handmade and stacked on their side by side. As you can see, they're kind of lined up. And then they'd stack another one on top. They'd put a layer of some kind of whatever they used for mortar and then stack some more bricks. And I'm not sure in feet, but this was a high temple. But it's amazing just the work involved in this. Next. This is some more. It's right in the middle of the city. The big green building in the back is a big office building, a big modern building right across the street from the ruins. So I guess it just built up around the temple. Next. This is a view from a little higher up because we did get to walk to the top. And that's another group down there that's getting a view from there. This is muskrats. They grow, raise muskrats. It's a delicacy there. They eat it. You have to be special to eat it because it's costly. But when we were at Chili's, one of the leaders from one of the other teams sent us a picture. He had ordered a plate of muskrat wherever their team was eating and sent it to us. And it looks like a little rat on a plate with his big eyes staring at you. And that's how they eat it. So our group voted not to eat muskrat. But we were in an area where they were raising them. Next. And this is our trek as we go up to the top of the temple. Okay, and this is part of our group. We're back down at the base of it now. And this is at one of the elevated sections. This you might can see a little better where the bricks are layered and on their sides. Okay, this is the mountainside. Our last distribution was a little village up on the mountainside, which is where the poorer people live. They get their water by the water flowing down off the mountain. They did have electricity. They have dirt roads. It's a very dangerous place, they said. The security team rode with us to this particular distribution. Of course, if I showed you the picture of the head of the security team, you might think, well, that's not very much security. I wouldn't trust him. But they were very good. I believe that if Samaritan's Purse picked these people, they had to be good. They were from Canada, and they said they do a lot of security for Samaritan's Purse. But this is the village up on the side of the mountain where we're heading this day. Next. Okay, this is the church where we're there, up in the mountain. I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right. It's Huaca Patlana? No, I'm sorry. That was the name of the temple. I'm sorry. This is Tabernaculo de Fiamor. It's Pastor Elmer and Deborah Bustamante. And he's been a pastor for 28 years. And he and his wife and children have served in this area. Now he has sons that are pastors also now. And they have been participating in the Operation Christmas Child distribution in The Greatest Journey for over 20 years now. They told us that their neighborhood is marked by severe dysfunction, and over 50% of the children, that there's at least 50% of them have problems at home, whether it's financial or abuse of some kind, but they all have some kind of problems. Well, 50% of them all. And they believe that partnering with Operation Christmas Child is a good way to help these families to live a better life and advance the gospel. Okay, next. Okay, this is inside the facility there. This is one of the pictures that I thought was amazing. This little boy, while they were praying, And he was just so deep into his prayer. His little eyes was closed, and I mean, just you could see how tense he was in praying. Next. That's a front view of him. He was another one that just stole my heart. Okay, next. And this is just the same distribution. And this little boy received a hat, and the first thing he wanted was to put his hat on, so I helped him get his hat on his head, and he was just so happy. He kept it on for the two and a half hours we were there and left with it. Next. And this little girl is so precious. Next. And I'm not sure what this little boy had. Well, see, he has a pump, so he must have a soccer ball or something in his box. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Even the soap made him excited. Okay, and this little girl with her sunglasses, she put them on and she kept them on. Next. Next. This is as we bring in the boxes to the kids. And she was a happy little girl. This little boy, I'm not sure what his situation is, but he was there, and he knew when to smile. He knew when he was happy. And when he started digging in that box, it just made our hearts melt, you know, knowing he was struggling with his condition, but he was thankful for what he was getting. Next. Okay. He's got some colored pencils. They've got their books. This is as the little boy was leaving. They gave him bags, the yellow thing that you see on his lap, they gave him bags to put their shoe boxes in. because some of them had taken everything out the boxes and had them all spread on the floor. And if they didn't want the box, they could just put their things in the bag, or they could put the whole box in there. Next. Okay, and this is our team and their volunteers from the church. This is where, as we're leaving and heading back down the mountain, just kind of see the buildings that they live in. And it doesn't look like much from outside. And, of course, we didn't go into all of these, but all the churches that we went into were spotless. And the streets were even clean. There was no trash anywhere that we saw. Okay, now, on Sunday evening, after our last distribution, our leader gave us a choice. We could either go back to the hotel and have 10 or 15 minutes to go rush up to our room before we had to be back in the banquet room, or we could stop at the beach and then rush back to the hotel and run straight into the banquet room. Well, our team voted to go to the beach. Of course, it's kind of a rocky beach. It's not a sandy beach. But this was the Pacific Ocean out on the outside of Lima. The waves were pretty high that day. The wind was blowing pretty strong. That's it? Okay. Now, there was another picture, if anyone wants to see it. I thought I had it in here, but I must have missed that one. That is just adorable. It's a little boy kissing his shoebox, you know, and he's just got it tightly in his arms and just kissing it. So if anybody wants to see that, I'll be happy to show it to him. I also have my photo album on the table out back. If anybody wants to look through that, they have a few more pictures than what's on the presentation here. And if anybody has any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. But I want everyone to know that one thing I came away from this trip feeling, besides the chills that still overpowers me sometimes, is that our time and our money is not wasted on Operation Christmas Child. Samaritan's Purse has put everything we do and everything we send to the best possible opportunity they can. They're using these boxes to present the gospel. And although we've heard that over and over for 20-something years, we've been packing boxes, it's to see it actually being true is amazing. So I want you all not to give up hope that everything you do, every single box, means something. It's a gospel presentation to a child, which eventually goes out to their families. So please keep supporting this program. It's amazing what they do and how well organized they are. I just can't say enough about it. And I want to thank God that He's given me this opportunity to go. When we first started packing shoeboxes over 20 years ago, as I got involved in it and it started to become something so dear to my heart, I always dreamed of being able to go to a distribution. Of course, I never thought I would get to go. So this was amazing when I got the invitation, and it was just amazing to be able to go, to have the means to go. And I just thank God that he gave me that opportunity. And I thank y'all for all that y'all do with Operation Christmas Child. It couldn't happen without people like y'all. Thank you so much.
Wasn't that a blessing tonight? It's awesome to see how God is working in many different places and through people who are obediently going like this. And be praying about the opportunity for you to be involved. We want to thank you for praying for Joycelyn while she was gone. The question you may have right now is, how can I be involved in this?
Many different ways that you can be involved. National Collection Week is the week before Thanksgiving. I think it's the 18th through the 22nd this year. So this is a collection site for our area. People will bring their boxes here. We have a shipping container that they'll bring, and we'll fill it up, and they'll ship it out to the distribution center. You can help out with that. You can talk to Miss Melody or Joycelyn before you leave tonight. I'll have them to meet you out in the foyer. They'll be waiting to take any questions that you may have. Look for items on sale. If you like to shop, guess what? Here's your opportunity. Here's a way you can justify that. Anytime you're shopping, you find little knickknacks, little items, crayons, paper, coloring books, bubble guns, whatever you want to call it. I mean, you saw all the different items. There was a little fire truck in one of them. So you should have some ideas now of what they can pack. Anything that you think that a kid would like to play with, that can fit in one of those shoe boxes, definitely find out. Be looking for items when they go on clearance, the back-to-school clearance items, when they mark them down, crayons, different pencils, combs, anything like that. So there's ways that you can be involved throughout the year. When it comes time to pack the boxes, guess what? We need people to fold boxes. 500 boxes. It takes a while to fold each and every one of those boxes to get them ready to be packed. And be talking to these ladies about the days when they'll have the times that they'll be packing the boxes as well. So, all right. Well, thank you so much for being here. I know I enjoyed hearing the firsthand report. We see the videos. You hear people talking about it. You hear us telling how the gospel is shared through these boxes. But we wanted to give you a firsthand account of someone who's been there and had the opportunity, and just give you that opportunity to be praying about how you can be involved in the future in Operation Christmas Child.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.